All right, back on the record, June 4th, 2025, 4:10 p.m. The Silverview appeals. We just finished direct testimony from Mr. Miller. Moving on to Mr. Walker for any cross, if he has any.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. I have no cross for the witness.
Okay, great. Ms. Clungeon, any cross?
Yes, just a little bit. All right, Mr. Miller, regarding the double or the balcony, right, where you said you would not advise that. You didn't think that was a good design, right? That proposal was basically to address the exit distance issue, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So it wasn't Mr. Adams saying that was the best design for that building. That's a viable solution based on the building that's been proposed, right?
No, you're correct that he wasn't saying that that's the best design, but I don't think it's an architecturally viable solution. It might be a solution that meets code, but there's a lot of different solutions that can meet code. And in this case, this is a garden style walk-up type of building, and the stairways that are present for accessing those units meet code. And so there's no reason to do what he did. And frankly, it would be bad design.
Right, but that's because based on the current design, there aren't two exits to the apartment, and so it relies on that 175 foot. So that
Yeah.
constraint is a result of the garden style design, right?
That's the way it's designed, correct?
Okay. But he was not saying that that's the best way to design this. So for example, could there be a design with a double loaded corridor that would maybe be better design that would address the exit issue, the exit distance issue, right?
Well, a double-loaded corridor would have stairways generally placed at each end of the corridor. But that's not a better design solution for this site because now all of a sudden you've got 50% of your units looking uphill versus out at the nice view. So, again, from an architect's point of view or an architectural point of view and a site design point of view, it's not a design that I would recommend.
Okay. So is it your position that so if there are people who are looking north, that's somehow not that's not advisable or a good design?
If I was a developer and I was, this was my project, and I am not a developer, so I don't design these buildings. But if I were, I would not want 50% of my units looking away from, when I can design a building where 100% of my units have the best view available from my site, I would prefer and work really hard to make sure that each of those units had that view because the rent's going to be higher. The return.
Because of the waterfront view.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
I should say it a different way. If you turn your back on the waterfront view with 50% of your units, your rent's going to be lower. Let's put it that way.
Okay. But just to verify this, the balcony, the whole thing, we weren't saying that Mr. Adams didn't say that that was the best design, right? He just said that was a solution to the exit distance issue that the exit distance issue presented by this garden style apartment, right?
That's a fair statement.
Okay. Regarding the North Beach project, you said that it was kind of a smaller site, right? That was one of the constraints for why there was parking under the building. Do you recall that?
I did say that, and that's my belief. It's a 1.3-acre site for, yeah. So it's okay. Small for the building footprint.
It is a smaller site. Do you know how many units are proposed for that site?
I believe it's 47.
Okay. All right. And for the Silverdale site, it's 5.3 acres, so it's a larger site, but it's 160 units,
mm-hmm.
right? So significantly more than 47.
Correct.
Okay. Approximately
four times more. Yeah.
Right. So, and then wouldn't you agree that if it's approximately four times more, maybe that the density of those two sites of the units per acre is roughly equivalent or close?
I'm not sure where you're going. I don't think I would agree that the density would push you into pushing all or a portion of your parking under the building.
I'm just trying to say that the density of those two projects is similar.
I guess the units per acre, I guess you could say it's similar. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Just like on my project in Issaquah that you were asking me about on
mm-hmm.
whatever that day, Monday. Whatever day you're on.
Been a long couple of days for everyone. And then also regarding that North Brunt or that North Beach, you know, you say that's waterfront, so therefore that it can command those higher rents. And then you argue that this project isn't waterfront. Is that your position? Is that correct?
It is absolutely not waterfront. Waterfront property touches the water.
Sure. Okay. But it is in the waterfront district, right?
But that's so are a lot of properties that don't touch the water. So
right. Okay, but wouldn't you agree that even if not on the water, that views of the water increase the value of the site?
I would agree with that.
Okay. Regarding the discussion of elevators, you said that, you know, there needs to be you called around in at least a 4-foot pit, right?
Yeah, so let's talk about elevators. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about elevators.
I don't have a whole lot of questions on elevators.
All right,
I don't know
just make a statement.
We need to get into it, but all right.
The elevators, every elevator I've designed in my entire career had a 4-foot deep pit below it.
That's okay.
Just a kind of a given.
Right. Okay? And so just to verify, when you say 4-foot pit, that 4 foot is calculated from the floor.
Yep.
Of the structure. It's not calculated from the foundation, from the bottom of a foundation,
no,
right?
It's from the lowest level of service, okay, which would be the floor, as elevator lingo, lowest level of service, go down 4 feet and then build another slab and footings and all the other stuff that you need down there to support the infrastructure for the elevator. And the pit is an exact mirror of the depth or excuse me, the width and breadth of the elevator shaft itself.
Okay, all right. But the point is that it's not calculated from the bottom of the foundation, it's calculated from the surface of the floor,
yeah,
right?
I don't think anybody has said it's calculated from the bottom of the, it's not calculated from the bottom edge of the
right. Okay. Slab. So if we're looking at a two, and I think Mr. Adams clarified, we'll call it thickness, the thickness of the foundation instead of width and depth and things like that, right? Okay. So if we have a 2-foot thick foundation, then we have the 4-foot pit for the elevator. That would mean that elevator pit is about 2 feet deeper than the bottom of the foundation, correct?
Let's no, because I think you're maybe misunderstanding.
I understand there might need to be some other things. You talked about a sump pump, and there might need to be some foundations or footings or something for the base of the elevator too. Yeah. But I'm just talking about that 4-foot pit.
Okay, let me do a verbal description of what I believe this would look like. I've got the lowest level of my parking garage or whatever the lowest level of service of the elevator is, right? And that's going to be a concrete slab. That concrete slab down there is going to probably be, depending on the reinforcing, around 6 inches thick. It's not 2 feet thick. It's six mm-hmm. inches thick. And then you go 4 feet down from the top of that slab down to the top of the slab underneath at the bottom of the elevator pit. And then you've got another 6 inches. And then you have, depending on the engineering, spread footings or whatever supporting the pit and the weight of the elevator shaft itself. So it's not a 2 foot thick footing at the elevator pit. It's a 6 inch, or Paul McCormick could tell you better, 6 inch, possibly 8 inch slab. There's no footing at the elevator pit at the up at that lowest level of service slab. There's no footing there.
I wasn't saying there was footing at the top of the elevator pit.
Well, you were talking about something that's potentially 2 feet thick.
I was talking about the foundation of a building, right? So the thickness of the foundation. So my hypothesis is that
the foundation. All right. So you're talking about over on the edge or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. Right. I'm talking about, so we've got, mm-hmm. you know, let's pretend this is 2 foot thick foundation that is the base of at the base of a parking structure or building, whatever building, right?
So my suggestion would be, this is a structural engineer's question, and just like Mr. Adams, I'm not a structural engineer. I know a lot about engineering.
You testified about elevators and pits and things like that, and I'm trying to understand the way I think
about this.
We're talking about depths. We're talking about the depth of the pit. So
you're right. The way I think about this is, when I'm standing at that elevator pit and I'm looking down into it, it's 4 feet below my feet.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. There's some discussion about how the on-grade parking, you know, the proposal, and this is in reference to Mr. Adams' plan here, and I can show this. This is just for visual. This is Exhibit A8 at PDF page 4. Okay. All right. Let me know when you can see it. My computer is rebelling towards the end of the day here.
Okay.
You got it. Okay. You see that here? And so this is one of Mr. Adams', you know, proposals here, where we've got the 40, you know, 20 cars on each side. It would be one car for roughly each unit in this building. Hold on. And, you know, you said that that's still dug into, I believe your exact words were, it's still dug into the ground, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah,
is this what
so.
you
yeah
right okay so yes, we're still a bit dug into the ground there, but are you aware that even the design without under unit parking proposes units that are similarly dug into the ground?
I understand that, yeah.
Okay, so when we're talking about how much you have to dig in the aquifer, even the building without under unit parking is still digging down into the ground, it's digging down towards that aquifer, right?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be, right? So you're
right.
Digging into the ground, yeah.
Right. And you expressed that was a concern, right? That all parties have expressed concern about the depth to the aquifer and this building, but you know, we've heard a lot of testimony. I think it's already been decided by the examiner and all sorts of things, where the previous design of the building at the current depth would not pose a risk to the aquifer, supposedly, right? Right, that Mr. Piowski came and said, as long as you've got at least 50% of the confining layer of till, that he did not think it presented a risk, right?
I believe you're correct in that statement.
Okay. And so if we are not going any deeper, if the parking structure does not go any deeper than the foundation of the previous, wouldn't that similarly not be an issue? Not of concern. If the previous foundation isn't of concern and we put the foundation at the same level, wouldn't you agree that it would similarly not be a concern?
I would agree with your statement. However, we're not talking about 40 cars here. We're talking about 60. That's going to throw you into another at least half level of parking, maybe full level of parking. Below or above, I don't, you know, that's a different conversation. But
in this hypothetical, I am talking about four. I am talking about 40 spaces. I'm not talking
40
about
is not 40 is not what code says.
I understand that. So in the North Beach, where we talked about where there's under unit parking, isn't there also surface parking on that site?
There is.
Okay. And in Rivulet, you also mentioned we've got under building parking because they had some space issues, but that there is also surface parking as well, correct?
That's what I said.
Okay. So it's not uncommon for these multifamily apartment buildings in this area to have both parking under the building as well as some surface parking, correct?
I would say that it's only, you're only going to have under building parking under an apartment house like this at Rivulet or at North Beach, because you don't have enough surface area to park all the cars you're required to park by the zoning code. That is the only reason a developer would do that. That is the only reason.
What if there were some design standards that instructed them to do that as well?
Well, the design standards, in my mind, the way I read it as an architect, and we can, this is just me saying this, there are two design standards in the Chapter 9. In the general design standards, it says parking will be in the side or rear yard, right? In 9.something. And then in 9.4.3, the very first statement is parking will be in the side or rear yard. And then it goes on to say under building where feasible for multi-unit buildings.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not feasible or affordable, or even, I believe it's dangerous to the aquifer to impose parking on this site under this building. That is my belief.
Is that belief assuming that the foundation needs to go deeper than the previous foundation? Or
we can continue to argue about this, but you're going to have two layers of parking.
That's assuming that all parking goes under the building, correct?
Isn't that the requirement? 1.5 cars. I believe the hearing examiner said.
Wouldn't you agree that maybe it could be a realistic interpretation that a feasible number of cars are included under the building?
That is not what it says. It says parking will be under building where feasible for multiple
buildings.
Right,
and do you think, what if it's feasible to put over half the parking under the building?
I don't know how to interpret what you're trying to say. This is where the vagueness of the code is causing problems. It causes problems for all the architects out there. And there's no definition to what the word feasible means other than what we've discussed in this hearing.
Well, so, I guess I'm posing you a hypothetical here. So in terms of this feasibility, so let's say, I understand that you're assuming that all the parking needs to go underneath, that your conclusions are all based on the premise that all parking needs to be under the structure, correct?
I'm sorry, I was talking over you, so I didn't quite hear what you said.
Your conclusions about the feasibility are based on the premise that all the parking for this development needs to be under the structure, correct?
That is what I believe the 9.4.3D says, yes.
Okay. So that is your interpretation. What I am saying is, what if there is an interpretation of feasibility where it is a feasible amount of parking under the building? So let's say maybe it's feasible to put 40 cars under the building. We would still have some surface parking, but it would be feasible to put a significant portion of the parking on
Well,
his
here's here's how I respond to that. What I think you're conflating is what's possible and what's feasible. It's possible to put parking under the building, but is it feasible? In my mind, it's not. It's not financially feasible. It has the issue of pushing into the aquifer, possibly. I don't know. I mean, like I said, you know, the aquifer's there. We don't know exactly where it is. I know it's important to the neighbors and their wells down below. You know, that's one of the statements they made, that it's really important to them. And now you're kind of playing, as I said, and I hate to use this term, you know, Russian roulette, with the idea of puncturing that aquifer and having it breached in some manner and not being able to fix it. And now all of a sudden the wells go dry and there's devastation down below because nobody has water, and that's the issue. So that's
okay.
So you're, it's possible, but it's, I don't believe it's the right thing to do.
Okay. All right. But again, that going down and puncturing, again, all of those conclusions are assuming that all the parking is going under the building, correct?
I don't think I have the ability to opine on this, okay, you know, anymore.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Regarding the previous design, where we still had, so setting aside the parking under the building, the previous design, it still had units in the bottom level, right? Those are still in the ground, correct?
Yeah, I remember that because I mistakenly said that they were accessed from the lower side, which I actually think that there are doors there, but they're patio doors. Excuse me. That's what confused me. So.
Oh, where there are patio doors? I'm not aware of any designs that show patio doors on that, well, that back.
You have to look at the floor plans, but yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. What's your question?
Sorry. Which exhibit in the record would show that there is access?
I don't think there's
from the south side.
There's not access from the south side. It's access from the inside out to patios.
I'm sorry, which exhibit has patios?
Maybe I'm confusing this with a different project. I don't know.
Okay.
Go ahead and
okay.
ask me your question.
Okay. You kind of opined on the views and the aesthetics, as part of your testimony. Would you agree that two levels of units would have less of a view impact than four levels for the upgradient properties?
Well, I'm kind of glad you brought the upgradient properties up. I mean, because I live in this area and I know what those properties are like. And those properties are, I think there's an Albertsons, a couple pizza parlors, a lot of the properties that are directly north of this site. And I'm not talking about Maynard's restaurant.
I'm talking kind of specifically about Maynard's restaurant. I'm talking about the business that's directly north of the project.
Okay.
Where their dining room relies on views of the mountain and sounds, where it's integrated into their whole dining experience that is going to be mm-hmm. impacted by this project.
So, yeah, that's really interesting because they have these beautiful patios out there that overlook their parking lot. And then they have Douglas fir trees on the perimeter of their site, directly adjacent to the property line of this property. And Douglas fir trees will grow. There's quite a few of them, actually. I was out there the other day looking at it. Those Douglas fir trees will grow to about 20 or 30 feet wide and maybe 60 or 70 feet high. So, you know, I think that the idea that Maynard's, first of all, I don't think this is even a question in this discussion.
It's not.
But, you know, there's a lot of things to think about. But, you know, they have their patio is overlooking their own parking lot, one of their parking lots.
Okay. There's you have no document in the record to show that right now, correct?
I don't think I have any documents in the record.
Okay. All right. Because I feel like I need to correct that. And I'm gonna have to track down documents from years ago.
Well, you could probably get a Google Earth shot
I
of
was
it.
gonna say, yeah, maybe let's do an aerial. That might be easier, but
Or
let's
if you
go.
want to add, let's, I mean, can we go past five today, or do we, because I have a feeling we're not going to, we have to talk about closing arguments, whether we want to do briefing or do it today. And Mr. Schutz still has another witness. So
Does
either
he?
we go past five today, or we, I don't know, I couldn't do another day until next week, like Tuesday. But Mr. Schutz, let me get your thoughts on that real quick.
Sure. I can go past five. I've got one more witness, Paul McCormick. Won't take too long, at least on direct. As far as the closing or briefs, if we want to talk about that now, we can to give an idea about timing. From our side, I think just to wrap this up, I think we'd be willing, if the others were, to forego closing arguments, or alternatively, if people did want closing arguments, then we could schedule a time with just the attorneys, that worked with the examiner, and that'd be easier to coordinate, in my opinion.
Okay, all right, Ms. Clungeon.
Sorry, I am not available past five. I have an appointment. So that's a little challenging. And then when we're talking closing arguments, we're talking oral versus written?
Well, that's the question. Yeah, it sounds like
yeah.
Mr. Schutz would like oral. So
would like oral, but I'd have a preference for written to go through and have time to go through the
Okay.
record. And
Okay.
I'd be happy to kind of put a page limit on it, or kind of maybe we
Oh,
can have
sure.
an
Yeah, that sounds good
we
to
can
me
do an
too.
abbreviated written
Yeah.
closing, but I would prefer that,
Okay.
and that would also maybe help with scheduling. So,
okay, all right. So yeah, sounds like we'll have to at least finish this off maybe next Monday or Tuesday. Mr. Walker, what about you in terms of at least on closing, I guess?
I think that the parties should deliver oral closing arguments and be time limited. I think that part of advocacy involves reducing your message and distilling your message to some simple points. And I think that doing oral closings with appropriate time limits will further that process and not prolong the day when the hearing examiner can begin his analysis. And this has been a really, this way predates me. It predates any number of other people who are involved presently. I think written closings simply prolongs the whole matter.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So we're going to finish at five today. Then I say, yeah, let's, I mean, what about, so that works out. We can give the attorneys a couple days to do oral. I think I'll go with the majority on that. I mean, for me, I like written ones. That makes my job a little easier just to, but, I just get transcripts of your closing anyway. So, I mean, how about June 10th at 3 o'clock, and everybody come in and just as a, let's say, 20 minute each closing maximum. That'll be after any testimony we need to do that day.
That works for yeah.
Okay, Mr. Wachter.
Yeah, that works here.
All right, and Ms. Clungeon, does that work with your schedule?
June 10th, it just got booked up for me.
Okay.
Honestly, minutes ago with something with Mr. Lin. So I think
there you go. Oh, he's busy too. What about, I guess actually, yeah, my June 9th is, oh, shoot. Well, yeah. I mean, that's not a great day for me, but it's 2 o'clock on, well, how about, sorry. Just trying to think through this here.
I guess I mean we have something else at 2 p.m. On the 10th, but could maybe do later.
You mean like at 4 o'clock? Because I mean
that'd be a bit late. Never mind.
Yeah, that, I mean, yeah, because we still have a witness and everything.
I might need a day, so.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, shoot. Yeah, Wednesday I have. See, Thursday morning, the 12th.
That works for me.
That works for me as well.
Everybody? Okay, so.
So there is tonight. We have a normal hearing on that day. That's not going to work for the county.
Thursday. Well, 1 o'clock on that day.
Let me look. Oh, that's not going to work for the county either. The Thursday at all.
Did we discuss Wednesday the 11th as a possibility, such as the morning?
Yeah, no, I've got hearings all day that day.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see, well, let me check. Yes, I do, unfortunately. Yeah, 13th then, Friday. Give you a whole week to prepare your closings.
That works for the appellant.
Mr. Schutz?
I believe so.
9 o'clock. Okay, and then finally, oh, sorry.
9 o'clock on the 13th, yes, I believe so. My one question is just, we're not quite done with Mr. Miller. We have one other witness rebuttal. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't take long, but it looks like at this point, we're not going to hit the 5 o'clock mark. So it may be finishing up the testimony, limited testimony, and then closings, but that works. The date works, yes.
That's right. Yeah, that'd be right. Mr. Walker, does that date work for you?
Yeah, but we can make the 13th work.
Okay. All right.
What time would it be at?
9 o'clock.
Okay, let me just look at Liliana's calendar here. How long do we project it going for? Just out of curiosity.
Couple hours. I think we got an hour for closing, and Mr. Schutz is saying his testimony will be short, so I wouldn't think it'll go past 11. I guess to be safe, say noon, but we'll shoot for not 11.
Okay. Yeah, that should work.
Okay. All right. Well, let's jump back to Mr. Miller. Maybe we can finish him up in the next 18 minutes. Ms. Clungen, were you still questioning him? I think you were.
I was.
Yes, you were. Yeah, you were. Yeah.
It's been great so far. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I was going to pull up. This is goodness. So this is appellant exhibit 13 from the 2023 hearing. And I'm just gonna share my screen here. Okay. Are you able to see?
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Miller, is this the back patio that you're referring to for Maynard's?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. All right. And so here we have these, wouldn't you agree that, so on the other side of this fence is the proposed site,
yep.
Right?
You're right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep. And here we have these, you know, would you agree that this is pretty nice views of the mountains and sound and the inlet there?
Mm-hmm. I still don't know why we're talking about views from Maynard's though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, before we were talking about views in terms of whether a project is impactful and the design is, and whether they impact the views.
Okay, so if you were to put your little hand cursor down on that red tree right there,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and now go to the left. No, so right there. There's a Douglas fir tree against the fence to the right of your cursor. Go to the right a little bit. Right there.
Yes.
That is a Douglas fir tree that is currently more than twice the size of what's shown in that image. And if you go to the right again, there's another one right there. And you go to the right again, right behind the red tree. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Okay. So, so the owner of Maynard's has planted Douglas firs that are growing quite nicely because they must be well watered along that fence. And they're probably three times as high as they are showing in this photograph and more than twice as wide. So my comment is that just the landscaping as it matures along that fence is obscuring the view that people have from that deck. And then if you also look, there's the parking lot right there. You can see the black asphalt and the striping. And you can also see, you know,
the parking lot is it, there is some of the parking lot here, right? But wouldn't you agree that the majority of the parking lot is actually farther to the, I guess in this case, it would be to, in this photo toward the left, which is the east?
Well, that's a service road going to the left. But if you go to the right, where the red tree is, right there. Now, take pan around. There's the parking lot right there.
Okay, I'm going to go. I don't have to go to Google Images here, but
they also they have parking on the east side of their building as well. So all I'm saying is that they have a beautiful patio. There's no doubt about that. Nicely landscaped. People are going to go out there. They're going to enjoy the sun. But they're also overlooking their own parking lot, and they are going to be looking into tall Douglas fir trees unless they decide to chop them down, which I don't think they could do by code.
Okay, so separate from the Douglas fir trees, the proposed buildings that would go across this site, the four stories angled like this, don't you agree that that would obstruct the views that we see in this photo generally?
My understanding is that this is settled.
Right. Okay, sure. But you brought this up in terms of the fir trees and the views of it. And I also want to pose, isn't it possible that maybe Maynard's planted those Douglas fir trees because they would like to see that as opposed to the building that's being proposed at the adjacent site?
I have no idea why they planted them. They're probably in their landscape plan from their original design. I have no idea.
Okay. But wouldn't you agree it's possible that maybe they put those in as preventative, knowing what's being proposed at the site directly south of them and right in their view shed?
You're asking me to make an assumption that I can't make. I'm sorry.
Sure. Okay, so separate from views, this one is sort of is. Wouldn't you agree that two levels of building would be more sensitive to the adjacent residential uses to the south than four levels?
I think the planner from the county addressed that question.
But as an architect, if you had instructions to be respectful of adjacent single family residential uses, wouldn't you agree that a two-story building would be less impactful than a four?
Not necessarily, because these buildings are narrow. So, you know, and they step down as they go towards the property line on the south. So I don't believe that it's necessarily better to put a wider, bigger roof that they would be looking at, or bigger parapets or whatever that they would be looking at.
Are you assuming that that's the same general configuration you say that, are you assuming that the buildings are generally staying in the same location and aren't changing orientation on the site?
Somewhat. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the buildings on the site fit the site pretty well because of the way the contours work.
Okay. And it's kind of similar. You made a statement about the Rivulet apartment and you didn't think that it would fit on this site. Do you recall that? Is that accurate?
When did I make that statement?
I thought you did. I thought you said, you know, in your discussion of where you were comparing rivulet and how it would be wider, that if it's wider, it wouldn't, a wider building wouldn't fit on this site.
I don't recall making that statement, but.
Okay. All right. So if you don't recall, then I won't address that. Okay. Okay. All right. I think I'm done. No further questions.
Okay. All right, Mr. Schatz.
Hey, try to wrap this up in 10 minutes, which shouldn't be a problem. Mr. Miller, you were just asked about, hypothetical situations, but we're not dealing with hypotheticals, right?
I don't believe so, no.
So one of the hypotheticals was, if you had one layer of parking so that you didn't put all of the parking under the building, but just part of it, and you had some surface parking, well, then the foundation wouldn't need to be deeper and you wouldn't impact the aquifer. Do you remember that line of questioning?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And there was a question about, well, isn't your assumption that you would impact the aquifer based on double layer parking that fit all cars under the building? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. But isn't it true that, even with one level of parking, you still have the elevator problem and it would still go deeper than the current design, correct?
It would go deeper than the current design, yes.
Okay. So when you were saying that, when she was asking you whether or not it was based on the assumption that there's two levels, that wasn't accurate. In fact, even with one level, you're still going down deeper toward the aquifer.
Yeah. If you put an elevator in, yes.
You put an elevator, which I believe you discussed would be necessary. Otherwise, you have the walk-up problem with the stairs.
Yes.
Okay. So you were there was a question about view impacts and having two lower levels, I guess, and whether that would have less impact on the view from Maynard's. If you had two floors over structured parking, the buildings would have to be much, much wider, wouldn't they?
Well,
I mean, right now we have narrow buildings.
Yes. So what you're saying is if we have 40 units in a four-floor building and we were going to put 40 units in a two-floor building, then yes, it would obviously have to be wider. It would probably be reminiscent of it's the double-loaded corridor that was discussed in other testimony.
Well, Mr. Adams also had a exhibit, I believe, that he created that had these four big, wide, lower buildings, right, over big, wide foundations. Do you remember that one?
I do remember seeing something that looked like that, yeah.
Okay. So, on the one hand, we have the problem with the design standards that talk about going up rather than out. That would be an issue with that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also, if you lower the buildings, make a much bigger mass, I mean, it doesn't have an impact on the properties to the south as compared to the narrow buildings where they're now, when they're as designed now, just looking at the end, which is a much smaller mass that they're looking at, especially with the step down.
Yeah, I mean, if you have them on top of a podium that like was discussed, that, and that's what you would do if you were putting parking under them. The other thing that you can have a flat roof or you can have a pitched roof, but you're going to have a much wider facade at the south facing the south property line. It's going to be more than double wide than what you have now, I believe, because you have the corridor in there, and then you still got the unit depth that you need.
So in a way, with the lower building that's wider, you're looking at much more building from the south. Is that one way
you have a bigger facade on the south? Yes.
Yeah. And I know, So, I mean, there's trade-offs, right? I mean, that's
Yeah,
what
that's.
that's like if you drop the view for one behind, and then you're having a more impact on the people to the site, right?
Well, right. I mean, that's again what, the whole, I guess, conversation about, which, you do one thing, you compromise another design standard, right? So, the going taller versus going wider, and it is part of what the design standards talk about.
Okay, and in fact, with those design standards, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to keep this moving. I know we only have a couple of minutes. With those design standards, in fact, I mean, it was determined at the last hearing that there's no view protection in the design standards, correct? For the waterfront district.
Well, I don't know the design standards that well, but in general, my understanding of the laws about views is that you don't have protection of views across other people's property, unless they're actually in the deed.
Unless they're actually in the design standards or in the code, like in the shoreline district or something like
Yeah,
that.
or something like if it's not written in those codes, then there's no perceived protection of views.
So I'll just, you went at the last hearing, this was discussed and it's in the decision, so I'll just represent that's the case, that there's no this view protection for the waterfront district. If there's no view protection, but the design standards do say build up rather than out, would then wouldn't that be the one that you'd follow rather than worrying about the view from Maynard's?
Yes.
I think that's all I have. 3 minutes to spare.
Okay, perfect timing. Let me, Mr. Miller, just I want just I guess I can't get past without asking probably my dumbest question of the hearing, but I am really curious about this. For the whole elevator pit issue, I mean, would it be possible? I mean, if we're just talking about a couple feet clearance that we need to make the entrance, at the bottom level at a podium that's raised 2 feet, so that you would have the pit essentially starting 2 feet above the bottom. Is there room to do something like that, or does that just get kind of ridiculous? Because I know that the elevator doors are about 6 feet tall. You have what, about 10 feet clearance? Is that?
I'm not quite following what you're asking. I'm sorry.
Well, that you would basically the elevator pit would start actually 2 feet above the slab, and then you would have an entrance. You have a ramp going up to an entrance to the elevator doors 2 feet above the ground level, so that you could have that
The
pit
short
essentially
answer,
2 feet.
okay. I picture what you're saying. The short answer is no. You would not do that. You would you, to get up 2 feet to the elevator, you'd need a ramp that's quite long. It just wouldn't make sense in this case. So, elevators have pits, and the pits are typically 4 feet. There may be extenuating circumstances where they're deeper, but I don't know. Well, I can assure you that they're not shallower than 4 feet, at least with today's elevator technology.
Okay, just curious about that one option. Thank you. All right. Yeah, that's
You're
it. We'll end
welcome.
with that. So I guess we'll see you on Friday the 13th. Sounds good. All right. Thanks all. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.